Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be back with you as we are getting close to wrapping up our week on just the couple verses that we've been able to get through in 1 Peter, the second half of 1 Peter chapter 1. And we've been talking about hope again. It's amazing how much this comes up over and over and over again in the scriptures. Hope is that theological virtue on which we can wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. And friends, we need this virtue. We need it. We need to put our hope in the Lord. We need to be strengthened with endurance so that we can make it to heaven and so that we can bring other people with us. And I believe in this moment, why we're talking about hope so much, it's the year of hope, right, in the church. And why we're talking about hope so much is because God wants to give each and every one of us a new and fresh gift of hope, so that we can be rejuvenated, so that we're not just like slugging along like, getting to the next day, We're just Christians whom everything stinks for, and we're just trying to get home to heaven, and let's just make it. God is trying to revive us, particularly in this moment in the culture. Look at the world. People need hope. People need not false hope. They don't need escapism. This is what they're being given, escapism. This is why we see some kind of movement right now, some kind of little revival happening, because people are looking for hope. They're looking for the hope that comes from eternal life, not just like, hey, go on a nice vacation and then you'll feel rejuvenated or get some more money or all these things. And they're looking for a reason to hope. And Catholics should be the primary source of hope for other people in the world. Because Jesus is our primary source of hope. The Eucharist is our primary source of hope. Him coming again in glory is our primary source of hope. And we should be emanating that out to others so they say, what is the reason for your hope? I need it. I want it. And so we ask ourselves, is this happening? And the pathway to being hopeful every day is to setting our hearts on Jesus, fixing our eyes on him. We do a group every other week with high schoolers, girls who are juniors in high school, and our theme for this year is spiritually locked in, of being locked in with the Lord. And we were talking last night about fixing our eyes on Jesus, and how when we don't fix our eyes on Jesus, we begin to sink and fear comes in. And so often what we do as disciples is we say, oh, I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus. I totally am. But what we're really doing is fixing our eyes on the things we want Jesus to fix, on the things that we want Jesus to help us with. Right? And then we're inviting him into that. We're saying, oh, Jesus, come into these other things. And he joins us in that, as opposed to we're fixing our eyes totally on him. And then he decides what happens with those things. Friends, the way to hope, setting our minds, girding up our minds and setting our hope on the one who is to come. That's what we talked about earlier this week, and we're going to continue talking about that. And as he encourages us also to be holy and to submit in obedience to God, to walk in submission. And today we're going to talk about the journey of holiness. So if you'll join me in Psalm 130, we're going to pray, and then we're going to talk about becoming holy as Jesus is holy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is fullness of redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Lord, many of us are coming to you, and we feel like we're in that place. Out of the depths, we cry to you. Out of places of pain, out of places of loneliness, out of places of hurt, out of places of discouragement. Each one are coming, and we cry to you out of those depths. Let us not be put to shame. Lord, hear our cry and have mercy on us. And Lord, we choose, we put our hope in you, for with you is unfailing love and fullness of redemption. And we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. Amen. What a perfect psalm. I didn't even read the psalm ahead of time, so I didn't even know that it was talking about, Lord, we put our hope in your word. I love that. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. This is hope. With our whole life, our whole body, everything in us waiting, our whole being. Lord, we wait on you. We cannot do anything without you. You are the source of our salvation. You are the source of our life. You are the source of everything. This is our hope, and we wait on you no matter how long it takes. We put our hope in you. Amen. Such a beautiful psalm. I would encourage you to read that throughout the day. All right, so we are going to go ahead. We're going to start with verse 14, and then I'm going to go through verse 21. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the foundation of creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So he's telling us to be obedient. Now he says, be holy in all that you do, just as I am holy. How do we be obedient? We walk in this journey of holiness. And I think holiness is like this general word that sometimes loses its meaning, right? It doesn't, in Catholic teaching, holy isn't just mean like good or pure. It's not like do your best to be good or have this goodness, right? Like be good on your own. Holiness points to belonging to God and sharing in his life. Because friends, only God is holy. Only God is holy. He is the source of all holiness. And so in order to be holy, it's not being good on our own merit, but it's sharing in his goodness. It's sharing in his purity. It's sharing in his holiness. And so he is the source of holiness. He is utterly set apart, but he shares his holiness with us. We receive God's life in baptism through sanctifying grace. And then through that sanctifying grace, we're set apart and we're given power to live according to God's will with purity and charity, virtue and self-giving love. And saints are one who allowed God's holiness to transform them completely so that their lives reflected Christ. So holiness is a share in God's life. We receive God's life at baptism, but then it's allowing through submission and obedience for God's power to transform us so we become set apart for God, consecrated, belonging to him and reflecting his divine love. The church is holy. It says this in the catechism. It says the church is held as a matter of faith to be unfailingly holy. This is because Christ, the Son of God, who with the Father and the Spirit is hailed as holy alone, loved the church as his bride, giving himself up for her so as to sanctify her. So we are invited. That's why he says, be holy as I am holy. He says, I'm inviting you to be set apart because I have given you power to participate in my divine life. You're a participant in the divine life of God. But many times, because of our still evil desires, we don't participate in that in the way that God is calling us to. And so he's saying, okay, I am giving you this power. And so you need to set your mind on things that are above. You need to submit to me. And through my power, through participation in who I am, your will be transformed into my will. Your desires will be transformed into my desires, and your call is to become a part of my divine life and to be holy as I am holy. Not just good, not just pure, not just trying your best, but that God's holiness actually penetrates you. And he says this, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, saying you have a good judge, you have a just judge. And so how are you to be holy? He says, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. There's a couple things there. Living out your time as foreigners. There's another translation. He says, live your exile. We do not belong to this world. We are foreigners. We are wanderers in a foreign place. This is not our true home. This is why sometimes things feel so unsatisfying, so disjointed, so hard. We are not made for this world. C.S. Lewis says, if I find in myself a desire with which nothing in this world can satisfy it, I can only conclude that I am made for another world. Your true home is heaven. Remember, that's where you're setting your hope. My true home is heaven. You are a foreigner in this world. But what so often happens to us is we treat this as our home and we take on the customs of this world. We take on the pleasures of this world. We escape into this world and we look more like citizens of this world. This is a really convicting reflection to say, would people say that I'm a citizen of this world or I'm a citizen of heaven? Would they say I'm a foreigner here to this world, that I'm just setting up camp here for now, that I'm on a journey? What does it look like to be on a journey to heaven? I think that's such an amazing question. What does it look like to be on a journey to heaven? What does it look like to be a foreigner? It means I'm not familiar with worldliness. I'm not familiar with the customs of this world. But how are we supposed to conduct ourselves in reverent fear, in holy fear, in fear of the Lord? This is connected so much to submission and obedience. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Hebrew, it's yirah, can mean fear, awe, reverence. A profound phobos in Greek, a profound respect, a profound awe, not panic. The scripture says, again, in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalm 2, serve the Lord with fear, rejoicing and trembling. Luke 1, verse 50, his mercy is from age to age to those who fear him. So fear of the Lord is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not cringing before him in punishment, but it's filial fear, the reverence of a child before a loving father and the dread of offending the one we love most. The Catechism says this, filial fear is that by which we revere God and avoid defending him. It's that gift of the Spirit that fills us with awe for God's holiness and keeps us from offending him. This is how we walk as foreigners. This is how we walk into holiness, with the fear of the Lord. Walk as a foreigner. Are you living, friends, with a desire for holiness? Is holiness your aim, or is just barely getting to heaven and getting by our aim? Do we actually desire to share in divine life, or are we just living as members of this world, not even pointing towards heaven? Ask today for the gift of the fear of the Lord to walk as a foreigner in this earthly world. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.